4341790, the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks goes to one. We break at 12:30 for the latest from Stockholm Network News. The WhatsApp message says, "Good day, Mr. Johnson. Please remind the developers that pedestrians walk at night as well. So please improve the lighting at the back of the terminal, especially near the treatment plant leading to the van stand." Good afternoon. Someone asked if about the elections in Guyana. Don't know about that yet. Sanka Price is on location. He should be coming back home. I don't think they've finished the count. They said maybe by Wednesday. So perhaps by tomorrow we should know. Perhaps later today we shall see. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Okay, that person decided they've waited for a while. So, I was trying to get another message up here to share with you, but someone said that Grenada turned a plane of Chinese nationals and we allowed it into Barbados. You know, these comments that we get from time to time, the one I was looking for talks about the transmission of the virus, and it said that one form of transmission of the COVID-19 virus that's been overlooked is the exchange and circulation of money. The virus can live on surfaces for days, and money passing around can be a very effective spreader. And that China's been disinfecting their money, and the incidence of the disease have dropped. The story circulating about this virus and various methods of dealing with it is certainly one of the things that we're going to have to deal with, the difference in what's information and what's misinformation, what's correct and what's incorrect. The challenge of the information age, where people pass information around at the speed of thought, is perhaps one of the things that previous outbreaks did not have to deal with. Today, because of the speed of transmission of information, those who put out what they call the correct advisories are always playing catch-up. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
In relation to the comment the person would have been talking about, walking behind to the wharf, getting into the bus stand,
mm-hmm.
We disembarked by the Ready Fusion area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to take that blind corner, and, you know, it's dark, and we go on down. But I discovered also that there's three locked doors going down there before I can get back to the main side of the bridge
to
come back in.
The main entrance to come back in. Yeah, you see,
three
that...
locked doors.
Yeah, that used to be done.
Because they block off the first one.
Mm-hmm. That was done for security reasons some time ago, but no.
Number 16, and I have to go down to
right down to the end.
Number one. Mm-hmm. The bus is there. I'm hustling to get this bus. The driver gone and left me. You know where my next bus is? Midnight. If one of those doors were open, chances are I get that bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those doors were closed some time ago for security issues, but now that you've got that block and you have to go around the back, it would make sense perhaps to take a look at having one of them open, if not
one of those three sides.
Even if you have to put a security officer side. Even if you have to put a security officer there, yeah, it will make sense.
That'll help much.
I think in terms of you
just having like 3 minutes to 5 minutes to run to get a bus and going down the road to get one to head back to 16 and 15. You will miss your bus. Your next bus after that 10 o'clock bus is midnight.
Midnight. Well, I hope the team...
Just putting it out there.
I hope the team at the transport board hears that and that they try to at least help those persons traveling at night who would need access through the back there. Because, and the question of lighting as well becomes crucial, because I know it is a rather desolate place at the best of times. So, yeah, hopefully they hear you. And thank you for the comments, ma'am. 4341790. You can reach us at 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks at StockholmNetwork.net. Carmo says, I shall ask this question until I receive a satisfactory answer. Why do we refer to our foreign reserves in Barbados dollars? I don't hear the IMF doing that. Is it because 1.6 billion sounds bigger than 800 million? Yeah, I know Carl has asked that before, and it's one of the questions that remains unanswered. Yep. I'm not sure if you'll be touching on the closure of the restaurants under the CHAPS group of companies. I'm very curious, after watching the video with the CEO making a statement regarding taxes, concessions, disposable income, etc., why would they advertise that they're expanding their restaurant services posted on January 17th of this year? I strongly believe that all factors mentioned by Ms. Pula would have played a part in this unfortunate closure. And I believe that government to some extent are taxing businesses to this point. Yes, I know the facts lead into the taxes, but surely the owners would have known their state of finances a good few months prior to this announcement. So why advertise for new staff? I think there has to be more to this than meets the eye. And that was the email message that came up. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Great. Yes, I know the facts leading to the taxes.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling about the Lesterborn school bus, the St. George school bus on morning.
Mm-hmm.
From the terminal, it is supposed to be at 7:10. And kids from that area around St. George, there's no other bus for them unless they go to the Lower Green bus stand and come up. And this bus is always late, always late. Sometimes the bus now gets into St. George at 9 o'clock after 9 every day.
How long has this been going on?
Long.
And has anything been said?
Yes, we know that there's problems
with the
buses, but I mean, every day this bus is late. Every day. Sometimes when you call 8:30, 8:45, they're now telling you they're waiting on a bus to come back from the country to send
to you. Kids. Yeah. Well, until they find a fix to it, I think they have to find some other method, because there are just so many times you could say the bus was running late for you to get to school at some odd hour. And I do not believe that this helps in the education process. I think it's disruptive, and we got to find a way to deal with it other than saying we're waiting our bus to come back. Because with the changes in the movement in and out of Bridgetown, 1, 2, state of our roads, 3, traffic congestion, buses that may normally take 45 minutes may take an hour and a half. I know sometimes getting in and out of town takes 20 minutes longer than it used to take, depending on the time of day. So there's obviously something wrong with the scheduling. Yep.
Every day they're going to say that they're waiting on a bus to come back from the country. Then the kids have to be waiting on the road like an hour, sometimes 2 hours. Yeah, and then they get school after 9. Yeah. School is called at 7:40. So it is hard. It is hard.
Okay, ma'am. I hope they can fix it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you as well. WhatsApp message says, there are frequent outages by light and power in St. George without an answer. What's going on? Jackie, if you folks are listening, perhaps you can help me with that one and help them, the person in St. George, with that. Brass Tacks, 4341790. One of the assistant managers, and this is going back to the story, says this WhatsApp, that there are 3 young men who quit their jobs to join the company. If the owners knew they're going to close, why would they do this? It's unconscionable, and the reasoning was pathetic. That's why I said there are management issues here that we need to address. Human public relations, human relations issues that needs obviously to be addressed. To ask assistant managers to relay bad bad news is not the proper way of doing it. The timing seems a little odd because the assistant manager, who obviously was not au fait with the decisions being taken, said he was hiring people and seemed to be in the dark about what the company was doing. So it's a case of the left hand and the right hand not knowing. And another comment on the bus that said the St. George bus is never early, that students had to leave one place and go to another to try to get the bus to school. So the transport issues persist, and hopefully someone sent me two voice messages or two recordings I have to listen to and then asked me if there are similarities. Unfortunately, I can't listen to voice messages on WhatsApp while I'm talking to the public on air. Only have two ears and they're covered by a headphone, unfortunately. So I won't be able to listen to them to tell you whether there's similarities or not. But hopefully during the news break, I will be able to do so. There was another message that I wanted to share with the public. Well, but I missed it at the moment, so I will let that wait until afterwards, and hopefully I will be able to share it with you. 4341790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, 266-IVOB. Unfortunate news. Death threats are not things that we are accustomed to in our neck of the woods. I don't think it is something we should condone. Often said, however, that I think social media has unleashed some very unsociable people, and that hiding behind masks, they make statements that are perhaps what they really think, which is a good thing that we know what they're thinking. But sometimes it's a little crass and a little uncomfortable, especially when some of the things being said are prejudicial and not necessarily true. Some of the WhatsApps we receive, for example, some of the things that are said, I've heard, sitting in the production booth, moderators starting to read and then stopping because they've run into some heavy weather. I tried to read them first as fast as I could before I start and end up in the same place. But it's difficult sometimes because you may want to share the concerns of those who send messages that way. But the manner in which it is written means you have to do some heavy editing. As I said, some of it gets personal. And that's when I get concerned about how we tackle the issues with which we have to deal. When those who listen consistently to the program hear the same people raising the same issues with various moderators hoping for a different response, they tune out. It degrades the level of effectiveness, and it does not help to have the problem solved if it's confused with misinformation or it seems to the listener to be someone with a personal grudge or grouse with someone who's trying to use the program to ruffle their feathers, if you want to put it that way. Brasstacks, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dennis.
Hey.
This is in passing. I'm not going to comment further on it.
Okay.
It doesn't inspire confidence when you're listening to the news and you hear a headline announced, and then you hear part of that headline, and then you don't hear anything about the story. That is as much as I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
A lot of attention is being paid to the unfortunate situation with the restaurants. And nobody can feel worse than someone who gets up one morning, goes to work, and realizes that there's no job. I know how that feeling is. But although we extend our sympathy to those unfortunate people, there are a number of people who are leaving home on mornings, going to work, and realizing they don't have a job. And these people operate at the very lower echelon of society. The reason why I'm calling, because a couple of weeks ago, there was a young man who was trying to do some security work. He was working every day. He had no lunch money. He had no bus fare. He bum lift to the places all across Barbados to work as a security guard. And eventually, obviously, fell ill after working about for 2 weeks and maybe 5 days. Mm-hmm. And he called the security company, in spite of how ill the guy is, and he told the guy that the security company that he was not feeling well. And the security guard said, "But what do you want me to do?" The security company said, "But what do you want me to do?" He said, "The security guard told the company, but I'm not feeling well." Mm-hmm. And he was working at the gas station. And the supervisor of the gas station told him, the security guard, to go outside and catch some fresh air.
Right.
The security firm representative eventually came to the gas station and saw the young man sitting down outside on the bench and asked him what he was doing outside. And the young man told him, "Well, I was not feeling well, and the supervisor told me to go outside to catch some fresh air."
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the security company told that man,
mm-hmm,
tomorrow,
you'll come to work.
You bring the shirt, I'm going to give you your paycheck. The young man said, "But I mean, I was not feeling well." No protestation was enough to let that security firm have consideration of that guy who was working for almost 3 weeks with 2 days. Obviously, he was going to fall ill eventually. And when he went into to get his check, the security firm gave him $500. The fella had his schedule where he was counting his hours, and it would have come to $900. And in spite of how much protesting he did, the security firm gave him the $500. The security man said, "I'm going to the labor department." He said, the security firm told him, "Go to the labor department because they can't do anything." He went to the labor department, and the labor department told him that they can't do anything. He has to work for a year. So I'm only saying, I said all that to say this, that we have to make sure that there's protection for people who go out there, poor people who go out there every day trying to look for a job. But they have some black-white people, or white-black people, who come in the guise of colonial masters and exploit these people who are trying to find work. So I don't know really, I feel for the 149, but please do not overlook the concerns of those people who sometimes don't know who to turn to, but they turn to people who feel that they can speak on their behalf. That's my essential point.
Sir, I don't know if you caught the start of the program, but one of the things I mentioned at the start of the program is the poor state of industrial relations in the country. And because of layoffs, various reasons that people are unemployed, some they claim are unemployable, there is an exploitation of the workforce that says, well, if you don't like it, somebody else will do it. Easy to come by. And it has replaced an ethos that said, you train your staff members, you make them a part of your organization, they are your ambassadors. It's not that you're looking after them because you want to be a grandfather. You're treating them well because they will make you a successful company. So you invest in them and you're rewarded with good service and your business grows. We seem to have given that up for, we take you for a short time and then we find some other people who are willing to take the crumbs now that you want the whole bread. And I said, if this 140, 950 people is not a wake-up call for the unions in Barbados to realize you got to change your modus operandi and get more people interested in how collective bargaining works and see you as being champions of their cause as opposed to being what people call in bed with the oppressor, we're going to be in trouble. So because what is happening is frightening. And I'll tell you why. your story drives the nail right into the end of the coffin. What is happening is that the belief seems to be we don't have to treat workers as people anymore. They are assets. So the same way you dispose of the garbage, the new furniture, the, you know, they just go and somebody else will come. The other thing is when you hear, but members of management got this and members of management got that, then people become upset. I saw it with the C.O. Williams workers who went on strike. They made that comment. The other thing is that it also means that titles apparently are given to some people, but that's all they are, titles. Because you have an assistant manager saying here that he hired people and he didn't know it was going to close. Here you're telling me a story where the supervisor of the establishment is humane enough to say, okay, get some fresh air outside, get yourself together. And the employer of the person say, but, you know, nah, you're going home. Because to me, it says something about how we see workers. It says to me that management in some places don't see themselves as being workers. They see That's themselves as being something other than a worker. So they don't see that they're going to get hit with the same thing that they're hitting people with at some point. So when that security company is taken over by somebody who says, we don't need that level of management anymore, we can manage it by remote control from home, to whom does he turn? The same labor office?
Well, the same thing. And the thing about it was really depressing to know that this young man really wanted to work. And he was working practically every day because he had a child, mm-hmm. and he has to find something to feed the child, money to feed the child with, to buy something to feed the child with. So I don't really know, and these are the kind of things that frustrate me, because I know a lot of stories of where people really are disadvantaged, and I don't know. That's why I refer to them as colonial masters, because we lament about how badly we were treated by the plantocracy and whatnot. We go to England, we go to America, and we get kicked about up there. And then when we catch a few dollars, we come back down here and we try to treat her.
You see, this is our chance now to crack the whip.
To take. Oh. Anyway, look, have a good day, son.
I will try my best, sir. Thank you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. You seem to be the one who will get the last word. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, in regards to people in authority treating workers badly, I agree with what you just said 100%. I think they don't know how to speak to people because they're in a senior role. And also, I know of, I don't know if you can call the place, but...
Don't. Trust me, don't. It will give John less work to do.
They were having the workers come into work, mm-hmm. and they weren't being paid. And I mean, these workers had to go to work for hours like 3 o'clock in the morning. They go on vacation, still money is still owed. Or like now, some of them are home and are not being paid. So, but I don't think that they were unionized. But I think, as you said just now, the labor offices, the unions, whoever are in a position to help the workers in this country need to step forward and let them know their rights.
Well, somebody asked the question here, and as you talk about rights, I'm going to use it to answer the question. Person says, I'm hearing of a protocol for dismissing workers. Can you articulate the process? Well, to start, a contract should have terms of engagement and terms of disengagement. So mm-hmm. you either tell somebody, you're working on a temporary basis, I will give you one day's notice, or your employment is per month or per week, so I'll give you a week's notice or a month's notice that you'll be terminated at the end of this time. If you do not want the person to stay for the week, you say, I will pay you for the week, you could go home now. Those are the terms which usually accompany a contract. An exit clause, if you want to call it that. What happens in a lot of cases is that people, one, don't read contracts, two, don't have contracts, or three, work on, I hope I get treated well. And since you do not have representation, since you do not have people to guide you through what you should look for, what you should sign on to, you get taken advantage of. There are lots of people who get hired on a quote-unquote temporary basis. So you're told you're here on a day-to-day. If I don't need you tomorrow, I don't call you tomorrow. But they're there for 5 years or 4 years. And then when they terminated with 1 hour's notice and they go to the labor office, the labor office says, but if you've been working there for 5 years or 4 years, you're no longer temporary. This should have been done, that should have been done, and then you're trying to play catch up. Did they pay NIS for you? No. Did they do this well? And that's when you have a discussion that you should have had when you were first hired. But through ignorance or, you know, anxiety, or sometimes you're just in a bind, you take what's handed to you. I want to thank you for your contributions on this, the Tuesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. Thank you, John, for taking care of things technical. And those of you who followed my erratic babblings, have a good afternoon.